book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 7. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all of Numbers chapter 7. Hallelujah, there's 89 verses. Amen. Chucky said, amen. But I am going to read all of Numbers chapter 8. But there's only just a few verses in Numbers chapter 8. Sometimes stuff just jumps out at you in the Bible. Amen. And I was looking over this, and it was just like, I don't know, Alan, it just kind of, it was like, it just, I've read this multiple times, studied it. But Numbers chapter 8, I want to read just Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. I'm going to read one verse, then we're going to pray. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, that's talking about God,
amen.
Then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Have your hand on us right now, Lord, as we open your word and we study your word. Speak to us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I saw that and I got thinking about it. I said, now either this is God the Father or God the Son, either one, it don't really matter.
Amen.
But he's speaking to Moses from off the mercy seat. That's the very presence of God. And he spake unto him saying, and the thought hit me, whatever this next chapter is important.
Amen.
Because this is God speaking.
Yeah.
This ain't Moses talking. This ain't Aaron talking. This ain't Isaac and Jacob and Peter and John. This is God talking to us. The voice from the mercy seat, like I said, it don't really matter. But you understand, that God did not just save us. He set us apart.
Right.
He cleansed us, and he gave us a job to do. That's what this next chapter is really about. Now, let's look at this next chapter, the verse 1 through verse 4. Look at this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so, and he lighted the lamps thereof against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof, and to the flowers thereof was beaten according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. And so he made the candlestick. Now, I want you to understand something. This lampstand, this chapter begins with us,
yeah,
or Aaron giving light. That's what we're supposed to do. We are the people of God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A lighthouse is made to give off light. And that's what you and I are. We're supposed to be lighthouses to a lost and dying world. Before God tells the Levites to do anything else, and before God gives them any other job, and before God gives you any other job in the church, before God tells you to do any other thing in the church, he says, be a light.
Amen.
To a lost and dying world.
Amen.
That's what we're all supposed to. We're supposed to be doing that. If you're not doing that, there's something wrong. If we're not giving off light, there's something wrong. Now look at number two. Number two, the Levites were supposed to be cleansed. Look at verse 5 through verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them, cleansing them, sprinkling water of purification upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. God tells Moses to separate and clean the Levites. Why? Because they were getting ready to go into the very presence of God. Sometimes if we ain't careful, we come to church and we're not ready to go into the presence of God.
Amen.
How many times have you come to church and God has to deal with you about something going on in your life, and you got to come to the altar and get things right with God, and you got to have a cleansing on the altar before you can ever pray for anybody else?
Amen.
They're getting ready to start doing the work. They're going into the presence of God. This is about us. God cares about the condition of the one who serves. Amen. Talent and ability will never override a clean vessel. I'm going to say that one more time. Talent and ability will never override a clean vessel. I've told you this before. I said this just a few weeks ago. I remember we were sitting at our table one time. We were eating lunch, and my sister-in-law was there, and they were talking about a good service that they had had. And she said, yeah, this guy had played the trumpet or something at the church, and it was great. And I said, that's awesome. She said, yeah, he plays at the club on Saturday night. Oh, no. Oh, no. I said, well, he wouldn't be playing in my church. Well, why not? For the obvious reason, amen.
Amen.
God requires us to be clean vessels. That's why there's been times in my life, Brother Robert, that I've had to, I've told you this before, I went visiting one time to a man's house. This guy was a strung out on drugs and stuff, and I said some things to him. I talked pretty harsh to him.
Yeah.
When I got back home, God convicted me of that. I did not say anything wrong. Everything I said was the truth, but God convicted me of how I had talked to this man, Grant, and it was on a Wednesday night, and God said, you're going to go back and apologize before you ever get in that pulpit. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I got my little self back in my car, drove all the way back across town. I apologized to that man. He said, don't worry about it. I ain't thought nothing of it, but I did. Before God will ever use us, we've got to be clean vessels. That's what this is talking about. God don't require perfection before he uses us, but he does require that you are willing to be made clean. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Ask yourself these questions. Is there something in my life God's trying to clean up? Ask yourself. I'm not just saying this to be saying it. I want you to really ask yourself that question.
Right.
Is there anything in your life that God's trying to clean up? Ask yourself, am I asking God to use me while refusing to let him clean me? Oh, there's a lot of people want to do a lot. A few years ago, and some of y'all gonna remember this, a few years ago, there was a couple started coming to church. They were two men. Miss Sandy had actually, I think, cut one of them's hair. And Miss Sandy had invited them to church, which was great. I don't have a problem with that. As far as from what I understand, these two guys were supposed to be married. They came, they sat back right there around where Miss Angie's sitting. They would come to, I think they would come to Sunday night and Wednesday night. They'd come to Sunday night and Wednesday night service. I'd preach on homosexuality, and they would amen me.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
They did.
They did. Very polite, very cordial. No, I never did anything out of the way. But the guy said, can I play the piano one night? I said, no, you can't play the piano. He wanted to know, could he work with the kids? No, you can't work with the kids. Listen, you got to be right with God. You want to serve on a deacon board? You got to be right with God. You want to sing in the choir? You got to be right with God. You want to stand up and do special singing? You got to be right with God. God is trying to purge, and God is doing his very best to get us where we need to be so that he can. You want to ask the questions tonight? How many want to be right with God? Raise your hand. This is audience participation. You want to be right with God? Take your Bible and turn to Psalms 139. This is going to hit the nail on the head. If you do this and you're sincere, God will use you. Psalms 139, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't there, say hold on, preacher. All right, I'll slow down. I tell y'all, I'm trying to do Bible study. I'm going as slow as I possibly can. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. You might want to highlight this in your Bible. If you got the right kind of Bible, this is how it reads. Search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. If you'll get sincere and that'll be your prayer, I'm telling you right now, son, things can change at your house. Amen. If that is your sincere prayer, God will use you. God will come. God will put you on a path like it will blow your mind. But most of us ain't willing to get that honest with God. Search me, O God. And he already knows your heart. Amen. The problem is God knows your heart, but most of us don't know our own heart. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. I'm just telling you, God wants a clean vessel that he can use. Amen. Number three, they were presented before the Lord. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but the Bible says in Numbers chapter 8, verse 14, thus thou shalt separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. These were not somebody that just said, I want a job. These were somebody that were separated unto God. In other words, the tribe of Levi had no choice in the matter. They were separated unto God. And they belonged to God. It's the same for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Salvation means a lot more than just getting a ticket to heaven. See, a lot, I'll be honest with you, I told you this before. I come down to the altar and I got saved that night. I just didn't want to go to hell. That was the only thing on my mind. I didn't want to go to hell. I wasn't worried about teaching Sunday school. I wasn't worried about singing in a choir. I wasn't worried about preaching. I wasn't worried about none of that. I just didn't want to go to hell. But when I got saved, it entailed a whole lot more than me just going to heaven. And it does for you too. You belong to God. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and 8 says this, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. You are not your own. Amen. You've been bought with a price. And when you stand up and say, I am a Christian, that means I am Christ-like. And that means I am in the family of God. That means I'm supposed to live my life each and every day to be more Christ-like today than I was yesterday. It's a growing process. Amen. Now look, this is the reason. Look at verse 15 through verse 19. And after that, the Levites shall go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel instead of such as openeth the womb, even instead of the firstborn of the children of Israel have I taken from unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. In other words, God's this, and listen, this is what God's saying. I'm going to take the tribe of Levi so I don't have to take your firstborn. That's what he's saying. The Levites were given instead of the firstborn. God had spared all the firstborn in Egypt. We know that from the Passover when they come in and all the firstborn of Egypt died except for the children of Israel. We belong to Jesus because Jesus paid the price. Couldn't help but think about it as I was studying this. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Listen. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Why? Because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain on you. He washed me white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt this heart of stone. Why? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's risen Lamb. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. Why? Because everything you and I are, we owe to him. Everything these Levites were going to be. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the Levites had an amazing job. They worked and they did the things of God, and God had his hand on them. They were set apart. You and I, everything we have, we owe to him. He set them apart. Now listen, they were given a job to do. The Bible tells us that in verse 20 through verse 26. Verse 24 says this: "This is it that belongeth unto the Levites, from 20 and 5 years old and upward. They shall go and wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." They had specific responsibilities, each and every one of them. They had specific responsibilities. Some responsible for different aspects of the tabernacle, but God had a job for each and every one of them. We know from studying the Bible that some of them would tend to the fire. We know from studying the Bible that some of them would tend to the snuff boxes. Some of them were tend. Some of them moved the furniture of the ark of the tabernacle. Some of them built the tabernacle when they got where they were going. Some of them tore the tabernacle down. It was somebody's job to carry all the furniture. We know from studying the Bible that when they were moving the ark and Uzzah reached out his hand, Uzzah was not a Levite. Uzzah had no business touching that ark. And when he touched that ark, God killed him, because there were only certain people that were supposed to do certain things. They had a job. This is for the church also. We all got a job. We don't all have the same assignment. Amen. Some preach. Some teach. Some sing. Some take care of children's church. Some takes care of the nursery. Thank God for those that work in the nursery. I can't tell you how many times I come out of church and I'm going down the back hall. Everybody else is already gone. You've already shouted it out. You've already got on the altar and you've already prayed. And there'll be somebody coming out of that nursery carrying a little bag of dirty diapers because they were back there working while you and I was in here worshiping God. They got just as much to do with the service as you and I do. Some of us do benevolence. Some of us take care of needs. Some of us take care of families that's lost loved ones, and they do meals and they worship and they help out with that. Some of us serve the sick. But everybody's got a job to do. Amen. All of us have a job to do. It's not just the preacher's job and the deacon's job to go out and take care of the sick and those that's in the hospitals. Amen. There's certain folks in our church. They go to the nursing homes. They take stuff to the nursing home for folks. You don't know about it, but you don't need to know about it. God's the one keeping the record in heaven. Amen. Just for instance, you know, this morning I was at the hospital. I was back there in the cath waiting room. Dale was getting ready to go back. I got a phone call at 8 o'clock or 8:30 this morning. Our deacon board was working for this church. Amen. We all got different assignments, but we all got responsibilities. Different job, same God. Amen. Different job, same church. Amen. Amen. And let me listen. Don't spend your life wishing you had somebody else's assignment. I'm going to tell you right now, boy, if I could sing like Robert. Lord, There ain't no telling what I'd be doing. Yeah, you'd be sitting right there because you ain't doing nothing now. I need to take a water break on that one. That one kind of slipped out, Alan. I couldn't help it. That one kind of slipped out. Find out what God has for you to do. There's certain things that Brianna can do that I can't do. And she can work for this church, and she has over the years. There's certain things Larry can do that I can't do. There's certain people that Wes will reach that I'll never reach. Find out what God has for you and do that. And be good at that. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I've known people over the years, they weren't real good talkers. They couldn't sing a lick, but they said, I'll tell you what I can do. I can clean a church. And that's what they did. And they did a great job. Now listen, there was a time for them to start, and there was a time for them to step aside. They started at age 25. These men would start working in the tabernacle and in the work of the Lord at age 25. Numbers, look at verse 25 in Numbers chapter 8. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall serve no more. So they had a 25-year period where they would give everything they had to the Lord. And I thought about it as I was studying. In a perfect world, God would call young men would pastor churches. And then when men got about 50, 55 years old, younger men would be called into the ministry. They would come in, they would take over and pastor churches. We don't live in a perfect world. We got men now, folks, I'm just going to be honest. We got men now 75, 80 years old trying to pastor churches because there ain't nobody else to do it. God is still calling, but young men aren't listening, and they're not answering the call. So they had a 25-year, so what's the lesson for the church in all this? Now listen, I'm not telling you that I'm ready to retire. I'm not. I'm not telling y'all that. Don't nobody leave. Say, preacher said he was going to work 25 years. That was going to be it. Well, I'm already on my 26th year, so we done shot that away. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. But an assignment, the thing about it is, the older we get, you might not can do some of the things you used to do. But you can still do something. Y'all do realize there's no retirement age as far as Christians.
Amen.
I ain't found it nowhere in the Bible. Amen. Billy Graham kept right on going right up to the time he died. I told somebody here a while back, I said, I'd planned on retiring at 46 when I was a highway patrolman, but now that I'm a preacher, I'm going to probably have to work 2 weeks after I die just to make it. But just because we get older don't mean that we can't do something for the Lord. Listen, and I was hoping she'd be here tonight. Miss Geraldine's here tonight. There was a time Sister Geraldine was the treasurer of this church. She did a fantastic job. That season ended, she did something else. She still works for the church. She still helps out with the senior saints. All of our senior saints still work together. So God's got something for all of us to do. You say, well, I just don't know what it is for me. Have you looked? Have you asked? Because I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. If you're looking for something to do, we got a nursery. Well, I just don't want to do that. Well, there you go. We got teachers. We need teachers. We need choir members. We need people to sing in the choir. There's always something for us to do. The thing about it is, I've told you this before. If you're too good to stop on the parking lot out there and pick up a piece of trash, and you're too good to pick up a piece of trash out of this church, then you ain't going to be serving on no deacon board. It burns me up to pull in. I pull in this parking lot a lot of times, and I know we got a lot of trash, comes off the road. I pull in this parking lot sometime, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. And I get out and I collect trash out the yard. When people ride by, I want to see something clean. I want to see something that looks good. I want this place to be inviting. Amen. To them. Amen. That ought to be all of our desires. And the greatest lesson is this, in this whole chapter. We're set apart for the Lord. We're set apart for the Lord. This chapter repeatedly talks about being separated and being separation. The Levites were separated for a special purpose. They weren't better than anybody else. They were just set apart. I was talking with somebody today, and they were talking about a preacher at another church. And this is what he said. He said, I don't know, he just didn't hit me just right. Said he treated me like he was better than me. I remember talking about Scoopy one time. So y'all might as well get ready because you're getting ready to hear it. So I remember talking to Scoopy one time, and Scoopy was telling me about a preacher that he grew up with on the Mill Hill that pastored not too far from here. I'm not going to call him names. He said, I saw him one day at the hospital, passed him in the hallway, said, hey. He said, he didn't speak to me. He said he had his suit on. He said, and I took a couple of steps, and I said, hey, you grew up on the same Mill Hill I did. Get off your high horse and speak to me. He said, and he turned around, spoke to him. Listen, amen. This man serves on the deacon board. This man used to serve on the deacon board. I'm a pastor. I ain't no better than nobody. And I hope, and I told this person today, I hope and pray that everybody, if I see you in Walmart, Mike, I want to treat you just like I do when I'm here. If I see you at the hospital, I want to treat you the same way as I do when we're here. Amen. I've known preachers. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get myself in trouble before this is over with. I've known preachers that when they get up to preach, their voice changes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Brianna's shaking her head over. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, when they out here, they talk like this, and they get back up here. Well, bless God.
Wow.
Listen. God's got a job for us to do, but God wants you to be you. I'm just me. I ain't changed in 26 years, and I ain't going to change. But I want God to use me, amen? Now listen. There's four things we can take from this passage of Scripture. Number one, God wants us clean. God wants us clean. The Levites were clean before they were served. God wants us consecrated. The Levites were set apart so they could be used by God. God wants us committed. The Levites were committed. They had a job to do. And God wants us continuing. Just because they turned 50 years old didn't mean they quit living and quit serving God. What's God got for you to do? The question is not, can I be used by God? The question is, am I willing to be used by God? Amen? That's the question we all got to ask tonight. Am I willing to be used by God? And if you're willing, he'll use you. Amen? He'll use you. Amen. Anything on anybody's heart?